Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? Happy 7-Eleven Day. I never try to give away what day we're recording this, but as you know, 7-Eleven is my favorite restaurant, and I want to show them some love. In the room with me, I have one and only Hockey Mitch. Mitch Tischler, how are you, buddy?
Hockey Mitch.
You're kind of almost back to football in that you just made me like do a bunch of planning for camp. That's not really what I excel at, but
you know what? You're calling me Hockey Mitch and you're calling 7-Eleven a restaurant. I think everyone agrees that's wrong.
That was my issue. You can't call it a restaurant.
Pete, we haven't even introduced you yet.
That's how angry I am. I have to chime in.
It's a restaurant. They serve food. They serve great drinks. They have everything you need. It's a restaurant.
It's a convenience store.
Have you ever sat down and ate at a 7-Eleven?
You have to make reservations at a 7-Eleven?
Would it surprise you if I said I have?
There's no part of anything that would surprise me.
Tandler is on the phone. Tandler, what's up, dude?
It's not a restaurant.
All right, fine. You know what? You guys drive me crazy.
Love you, Tandler.
For the record, I know it's not a damn restaurant, okay? Can I have a little fun on 7-Eleven Day?
Yeah. You're sitting there with a big gulp.
I am. I love 7-Eleven. All right. As Mitch said, this is a throwback podcast. The Capitals crew, you win one Stanley Cup and they just start booting us out of the podcast studio all the time. It might also be Pete's fault because he didn't book it in time.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Mitch, what do you think happened?
It's at least 50% Pete's fault and potentially a lot more.
Okay. Chandler, whose fault do you think it is that we're having to do this in the guest office with a really bad phone contraption?
It's Pete's.
Yeah. All right.
No question.
You're the producer, Pete. There's nothing else
he couldn't even record. He couldn't even reserve the office correctly.
Listen, right. JP walks out of the office yesterday at like 6 p.m. and goes, Pete, we're recording a pod at noon. Book it. I go to book it. It's already booked. Plan ahead a little bit, and I'll be able to reserve.
Hockey Mitch, when he gets back to full-time football, then I'll start planning. Mitch is the planner. I'm the spontaneous one.
JP's yelling as the door is closing, reserve the studio. And I go, it's booked. And he goes, all right, fine. We'll do it the old way. None of my fault at all.
It's Pete's fault, right?
It's Pete's
fault.
You're
the producer.
Right.
Produce.
It's your job
you
to be.
You set the schedule, dude.
Yes.
Okay.
Come on,
sure.
Pete.
I'll set the schedule for you and Tamler and Mitch, who are adults and have real jobs.
Take a little initiative.
Well.
All right.
Sure.
Anyway.
Stop eating buttered noodles.
Yeah. Gosh, Pete.
So good.
Pete is. Anyway. So, we got a lot to talk about. Let's start off the top. Momentum is very real, folks. We just got some news from the folks at NBC Sports. We're killing it. We don't need to get into specifics, but you guys listening make such a difference, and we're just going to keep pushing the envelope, do what we do. The August 4th podcast party, we will be able to announce the location this week, maybe early next week. It's going to be, what do the kids say, Pete?
Lit.
It's going to be.
That word still has weight here.
It's going to be the biggest one. Here's why. Because they're growing like crazy each time, and we're not going to have one again until 2019. And I don't care what sales or marketing says to me. We're not having one until 2019.
No.
Do you think I'll win that battle?
Nope.
No chance.
And right. You know what? For you, the fans, I'm fighting for another one.
Dude.
I want them every week. Let's go.
Every week. All right. But I wanted to say, so we're at almost at 300 reviews. Pete, why do you keep touching that?
There's a little bit of spit on my phone, so I'm trying to rub it off.
Oh, my God. You're such a loser. There's just going to be more. All right. We're almost to 300 reviews. 350 by the podcast party means all four of us wear bolo ties for the podcast party.
Get there.
That's worth it to me.
I might wear one anyway, but you should still get to 350.
Tandler, you are committed to wearing one if we get to 350, correct?
Okay, but given that I'm the only one who's had to do anything at all...
You're the grumpiest dude ever.
I'm sorry that you had to wear a turkey hat for 10 seconds.
You act like you were murdered on the scene. You wore a turkey hat.
Nobody has done anything else, but that's okay. You know what?
You're a team player.
Yeah, you're something, all right. All right, let's get down to business. Junior Gallette has said he had some tweets, and I think the tweets are mostly facetious, but... It seems to me that where Junior stance with the Redskins for a while was, I'm not going there, they lowballed me. I think now Junior would be happy to come back is kind of the way it reads to me on Twitter. I don't see it happening. I wrote about it. I think the Redskins moved on to Pernell McPhee, and the Redskins have repeatedly talked about, hey, you know, we're really confident in this team. We think we have a winning team here. So... I don't see Junior coming back, even if he is willing to take some reduced contract. Tandler, what say you?
Well, I'd say the second part you just said about the Redskins saying they're happy with their team, of course they're going to say that. I mean, they're not going to say, yeah, you know, we sure could use another outside linebacker because we have no idea.
Even though they could.
Out of McPhee and out of Anderson and Ryan Anderson. So, you know, they're certainly not going to express concerns, but... But that being said, I would be surprised to see it happen. And I think Junior kind of will regret and continue to regret turning down their offer.
So the tweet that popped out to me was somebody tweeted at Junior, you not getting re-signed by Washington is annoying. And Junior quote tweeted it and said, LOL, still a chance. He had another one where a guy said, come to the Skins for $210, which I think would mean a two-year deal worth $10 million. And Junior said, I'll pull up right now, LOL. I think I saw somewhere on Snapchat or an Instagram story or something that was kind of the offer the Redskins had on the table for Junior, that he turned down. Doug Williams eventually pulled the offer. I don't think that offer is going to come out now, Tandler, right? Mitch, go ahead.
No, that was the price in mid-March?
Maybe? That was the price, yeah, that was the price in March.
That was the price then.
If you're a veteran NFL player and you're sitting on the sidelines 2 weeks to training camp and you still don't have a contract, you're grabbing any sticks you can and rubbing together anything you can to try and create a little steam, create a little heat, try and get your name out there.
Yeah, Jonathan Hankins will not be getting that $10 million a year he was looking for in April.
Right. Well, the thing with Hankins was that there was some concern about staying in shape. And I wonder how well he's stayed in shape in the months since free agency. And I think most people are joking when they ask about it now. The Redskins are out of the Hankins business, unless, like, the Stacey McGee injury is way worse than they thought and something. But I think the selection of Tim Settle really ended the Hankins conversation.
I agree. He is it is not happening, but we'll still continue to get a steady stream of tweets about it.
Pete hasn't spoken in like 5 minutes. I'm worried about him.
Yeah, I wish they re-signed Gallette when free agency opened, and I hope that they do it still because we've talked about it before. The outside linebacker position, there's a lot of question marks, and behind those starters, there's not a lot of pass rushing, and you need pass rushing. So I hope Gallette can get to a deal with the Redskins and show up in training camp. It'd be good to see him, and I think he can still produce for another year or two. After coming back from two Achilles tears, why stop now?
Here's the I mean, the Redskins went into camp last year with Kerrigan, Preston, Trent Murphy, Junior Gallette, Ryan Anderson. So it was like they were deep at that position and skilled. I mean, Trent Murphy going into camp last year in the first couple weeks of camp, or the first week of camp, looked really good. He was coming off a 9-sack season. Granted, he was looking at the suspension for the PEDs, but it was a position of strength last year. Right now, you can't say that. They're strong up front in Kerrigan and Smith, and luckily those guys have been very durable. But it would make sense from a strict football perspective to bring Junior back.
I actually think the opposite way. I think last year it made sense to have a guy like Junior there who was high risk, high reward because you had so many solid guys in front of him. This year, they're not quite as deep, so I don't think you can afford to risk taking a guy who you don't know whether he's going to be able to stay healthy or not.
But he stayed healthy all last year. And Pernell McPhee did not.
And it's not a huge risk.
But McPhee hasn't missed years like junior athletes.
He also didn't play a lot last year. Not by his choice, but he didn't play a lot, so there wasn't a whole lot of opportunity.
Agreed. Up or down vote, no wiggle room. Do the Redskins sign Junior Gallette? Pete, you start.
Yes, I think they will.
Wow, Pete!
It's gotta happen. I think whether it's now or come camp when they see that they're a little thin or somebody goes down, I think Gallette will be a Redskin.
Taylor?
No, just without any explanation, barring an injury or maybe even two.
Sorry, wiggle room. I'll no wiggle down. Room.
Mitch?
Okay, then no.
No chance.
I say no. I mean, if we do percentages, I would say 15% maybe.
A little high. I would say maybe 8.5%.
Pete's at 80. What are you at, Pete?
Like 65. But I think it's more likely than less.
Wow. Taylor, what about you? Percentage?
10.
Okay.
Yeah.
The only other thing that I think gets lost for Redskin fans getting excited is there was also a tweet where somebody tweeted at him, "We need you in Nashville, fam. #tighten up. And Gallette said, "Possible." So I think he's looking to land a gig, a good gig.
How many ex-Redskin linebackers can end up in Nashville?
Who's there? Arakpo, Compton. Oh, yeah. That's funny. All right, moving on. I wanted to point out the president of the Deep State Redskins, Burgundy Blog, was tweeting out a bunch of stuff from a Greg Rosenthal article, NFL.com writer, NFL Network reporter, a guy that's smart and knows football, and I found this interesting. The lead to this piece, Alex Smith was not a consolation prize. After being mired for years in Capitol Hill gridlock concerning Kirk Cousins' imaginary contract, Washington Redskins coach Jay Gruden finally has a quarterback that he chose, and the "he" is in italics. I talked to Jay. Jay didn't choose him. Bruce went out and did this and then told Jay he got him, but Jay was effing ecstatic to get him. Jay wanted Alex Smith when it became obvious they weren't going to keep Kirk and he had to find another quarterback. Jay just didn't think they'd be able to get the deal done. And I think it's important to note that Bruce made this deal. People around the league think that Bruce Allen made a hell of a deal to get Alex Smith. And I know that fans love knocking Bruce, but this trade around the NFL is really highly regarded. The piece says a lot. One thing that stood out for me: what looked like a marriage of convenience at first glance has potential to be a lasting solution. The Redskins have the pieces around Smith to prove a point that Gruden has not so subtly made for years. It wasn't all about Kirk. Now, this thing doesn't go on and on trying to take shots at Kirk, but Gruden has talked about Alex in ways that he never talked about Kirk, and I think a lot of it is how he talks about the intelligence that Alex Smith plays with. And at times, Gruden talked about Kirk's lack of willingness, and everybody equates it to throwing downfield, that hey, Alex Smith never threw downfield till last year, so last year was a mirage, and it's just because Tyreek Hill is really fast. Like, we've had people come on and make that argument. We read the thing from the anonymous scout in SI earlier this week. People are making that argument, but Alex Smith has made plays and put players in positions to make plays. When you look at the Redskins offense, their explosive plays come on screens to Chris Thompson. There's not a ton of downfield success, big-time plays. There are a few. You can think of them. I mean, Kirk made a tremendous throw in the blowout loss to the Cowboys last year on that Thursday night game where he stepped up and ran and found Crowder deep over the middle. There have been plays. But what Rosenthal is arguing, at least, is that Alex Smith is going to make more plays in Jay Gruden's offense, and I'm tempted to agree with him. Mitch, you've been weirdly looking over my shoulder and rolling your eyes, so you get to go next.
I don't disagree with Rosenthal. My only argument to the big plays in the Redskins' offense or on screens are because Kirk was reluctant to throw 50-50 balls, as we've talked about ad nauseum, and I don't know that – we'll see what Alex Smith is doing, but to minimize the Redskins' offense, explosive plays come from the screen game leaves a lot on the table, because there are a lot of guys that were running.
Those were their most. Those were the
last year they were. Yes,
right.
But if you have like, oh, but if you have a guy who's willing to take a few chances, throw a ball into some 50-50 windows, you might have some other big plays that are coming from deep balls.
Right.
And I'm hoping that we see that from Alex Smith. I'm not saying one way or the other, but it's more of a knock on Kirk, I think, than it is on the offense. To me, I thought it felt like you were taking a little shot at the Gruden offense.
No, I think there were times where Kirk didn't go downfield. I don't know. Taylor, what do you think, dude? I think Jay runs a really good offense.
Absolutely.
I believe Alex can run it better than Kirk did.
Agreed with both of you. Go ahead, Taylor.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think, you know, again, we'll see about the 50-50 balls. And, you know, sometimes Josh Doctson was just open. It wasn't even really a 50-50 ball.
Do you remember Hoffman going ballistic in the press box time and time again? Because Hoffman is to Doctson what Tandler is to Preston Smith, and
right.
He just couldn't believe that he wouldn't throw the ball to him.
Yeah, and it, you know, we'll see how it turns out. Healthy Jordan Reed will help things out. Paul Richardson, you know, he's not as fast as Tyreek Hill, of course, but he is. He's got some speed. He can get open. So, you know, I think, you know, it was. Kyle Shanahan quoted a couple not too long ago, you know, saying, paraphrasing here, that, you know, this league really isn't about having a number one receiver anymore. It's about having guys who can create, you know, who can win matchups, create mismatches, things like that. You know, you got one great number one receiver. Hey, guess what? They can double him and just about take him out of the game. It's having a bunch of guys who can win matchups. I see the Redskins as being that kind of team that can win matchups, and I see that they're receivers. I see Alex Smith is the kind of guy who can get the ball to him.
Well, and maybe they're winning matchups, like, down the line, if that makes sense. Like, the number one corner might be able to cover Doctson, but then your two guy on Richardson is creating some safety confusion, and then whoever's in the slot against Crowder and Reed could cause big trouble. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think that's what Rosenthal's biggest point, and forgive me if you just said this, Sandler, is he's got the weapons.
Yeah. He says
more firepower than ever is the sub-headline.
Yeah, he says that the Redskins offense can replicate the Chiefs of last year. When the trade first happened, I said it might work, but Smith won't have as many playmakers around him. But as the offseason's progressed and they've kind of assembled this, you have guys who can step in and be that hunt, hopefully. You're not going to have a Tyreek Hill, but you could have a cheaper version of him with Richardson, and then the rest of the Chiefs receivers, Albert
Richardson's
Wilson.
Way more expensive than Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill's on
the
rookie
deal. Store brand version, like if Tyreek's okay. the big brand. And then the other receivers in Kansas City, Albert Wilson, Crowder's better than him. DeMarcus Robinson, Doctson's better than him. Travis Kelce and Jordan Reed are pretty equal in tight ends. And then Vernon Davis is your second. And then Chris Thompson is probably better than Charkandrick West. So upon second thought, and as the offseason's progressed, it does look like the offense could be there and even better for Smith to work with.
Agreed. So I think, are we all more in line with Greg Rosenthal's piece than what the anonymous scout said the other day?
Yeah.
I pay no attention to anonymous scouts. So,
yeah, and he didn't really say anything new.
All right. Let's move on then.
Taylor, have you ever talked to an anonymous scout?
No.
All right, moving on.
All they want to do is trash.
I mean, I've talked to plenty of scouts. What does that mean? Scouts rarely want their name attached to something.
It was a joke.
Okay.
Taylor clearly didn't like that there was an anonymous scout. That's all I was getting at.
No.
Do you not like anonymous anything, Taylor?
No. If it's a news item, if it's something, you know, affecting the organization, yes. Anonymous sources for sheer opinions that, you know, you don't know, you know, a scout. There are good scouts, there are bad scouts. There are good scouts for good teams, there are good scouts and bad teams. There's just not enough information there for me to, for me to make a decision about whether it's valid or not.
All right, fair.
There's good podcasts and bad podcasts.
And there's good podcast producers and bad podcast producers.
All right.
And somehow we end up in a effing conference room with an iPhone attached to a regular phone with Taylor on speaker.
The picture that you tweeted out was just spectacular.
We also have a stapler and a TV remote that we can use if need be.
Is it a swing one?
I guess we'll cancel the interview with the anonymous scout I had set up for next week's pod. Sorry, you know, Taylor.
What universe would it take for Pete to set up an interview? Like an actual producer? Oh,
I would actually love to try, but I have no connections.
That is your podcast drop. Cut that out, Pete. We're using that one over and over again. I have no connections.
I mean, I don't. I'm sorry.
That's our guy, Taylor, riding him to the moon.
Hey, just say you work with Mitch, and that'll get you all the connections you need.
I've tried it before, and it doesn't really work out.
All right. Anyway,
when it comes to places in stadiums to do post-game podcasts, I'm your guy.
Yeah, Mitch helps. Mitch moves the record.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
Okay, Tandler, what are you more excited by? Anonymous scouts or Madden video game ratings?
I don't hate Madden video game ratings. They just don't make much sense to me.
So you hate anonymous scouts?
I haven't played it. Yes.
You're so,
this is such a Taylor thing to
you're
hate.
You're so grumpy, dude. All right, well, that's good. You don't hate Madden video game ratings.
I just don't know anything about them. So you guys can talk about them and I'll listen.
Oh, I know.
Oh, we're asking you all about it. So for better or worse.
I'll pull up Pete. Now you can picture me holding up my phone and flipping through Twitter and everything like that.
What's the opposite of the millennial meter? Are you a baby boomer, yes. Taylor? What generation are you?
Yeah.
The baby boomers tuned out for Madden rating talk. This is like, I can only imagine that Vince Lombardi article you wrote earlier this week, Taylor, which was pretty cool. God. I can only imagine Pete trying to read that. No chance. Yeah.
What do you think Lombardi's Madden rating would have been?
All right. So Madden comes out every year. The latest edition of Madden, you know, they rate every player in the NFL on a scale of 1 to 100. Breaking 90 is a very big deal. Pete wrote a good story that Madden actually ranked Alex Smith in 84 and Kirk Cousins in 82.
Yeah.
So if you want to use that as a metric, there's one metric in the constant who's better, Alex or Kirk. People get up in arms about Madden ratings. DJ Swearinger didn't crack the top 15 safeties in the NFL. Is that right? Maybe top 10?
I think it might have been top 10. I mean, he was rated in 87, which is pretty high.
The one that stands out to me significantly is Jonathan Allen. It's like a 78.
That's true. Here's a really weird one. Kevin Hogan is 4 points higher than Colt McCoy.
That's stupid.
Will never matter in Madden because you're not using your backup quarterbacks, but I thought that was absolutely idiotic.
Do you have some of the ratings to read off?
Yeah. So the three players who were over 90 for the Redskins, Jordan Reed and Trent Williams, were both 94. Appropriate for Trent. I feel like 94 for Reed is a little high. And Brandon Scherff.
Can a video game take into account injuries?
There's a durability aspect of
it. Well, no. And Madden, and I haven't played Madden in years, but doesn't it update as the
So these ratings will change throughout the season, right, depending on who's hot,
so,
who's sinking.
That's cool.
Preseason, if you think about a full year of Jordan Reed, he's going to be a top three tight end probably in the league.
Sure.
As long as he stays healthy. And when he inevitably doesn't, then Madden can adjust his rating down.
Let's see if you can guess the third person who broke 90. Reed, Trent Williams, and
Scherff.
Damn it, JP, you got it right. That was not as fun as I was hoping. Scherff is 90 on the
dot. You started to say it a second ago, Pete.
Okay, well, the good thing is JP never pays attention when I talk anyway, so he probably missed that.
I like that Tandler was able to pick that up from a speakerphone.
From looking at old pictures of World War II blimps.
Yeah, your baby boomer meter is actually kind of low because you're still interested.
Geis
is a 78. I believe that is the second highest rated rookie running back.
What about Josh Norman?
Norman is an 87. Swearinger is an 87. Daron Payne.
Norman and Swearinger are the same?
I thought that was kind of interesting. Swearinger was...
What's Kerrigan?
Kerrigan I can look at. He was high 80s. Daron Payne is a 77.
Kerrigan should be the highest defensive guy. Kerrigan Zach Brown is wildly highest, underrated.
Zach Brown is the highest defender at 88.
All right, then what's
Kerrigan? There's some stat that he has the third most sacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the past 3 years.
Yeah. That's...
The Kerrigan situation is out of control.
Right, but Madden...
They need a win. They need to win some games.
Madden's like the king of, like, dumb advanced stats. Like, wouldn't they be all over that?
Madden is?
I don't know.
Well,
that's how they come up with that.
I feel like you're just winging it with that.
Here's another one that surprised me.
I feel like Madden's all Pete's that... You know what I mean?
So, Kerrigan's 87, which, you know, should be a little higher.
That's pretty good. 87 seems good as hell, doesn't it?
Yeah. Here's one that surprised me. So, Pernell McPhee is an 81, and Preston Smith is a 78.
Preston Smith should be 100.
Yeah, Taylor, talk to EA Sports about that. That's messed up.
What is
an anonymous scout putting these rates?
Probably is.
So McPhee 81, Smith 78, and another
Preston Smith's a 78.
Yeah, that's very low. I didn't really think about that yesterday. Dunbar for comparison is a 79, which is
Taylor, did you hear that? Quentin Dunbar is rated higher than Preston Smith.
And Monte Nicholson's a 76, just two below Preston Smith. And
wow. All right, I think these ratings are
whack. Fishmissons in 62, by the way, for those who care.
All right. Taylor, what's your takeaway from the Madden ratings?
Is that what you guys were talking about?
Yeah, you were chiming in more than JP and Mitch combined, so don't pretend.
Yeah, dude, you were commenting.
Yeah, I know. But they just seem, I guess we kind of grouped them together. But, you know, it's like with... Alex Smith and Kirk Cousins. Is 84 really that much better than 82? I mean, yeah, I think
two points better.
You find a point on it there.
I tell you what, we will never do this. Pete, make a note that at like week 8, we'll check the Madden ratings again.
I love that idea.
Yeah, but
you have to remember.
You have to have the original rankings to compare them.
Okay.
So there's no way you're going to do this.
We'll probably be doing 8 podcasts a week by then, so
we'll be doing 2 a day on Mondays.
Yeah, I'll have a Madden offshoot podcast. Maybe I'll start that. For one more thing, the Redskins are a 79 overall, which is 15th in the league, smack dab in the middle. I think that's kind of generous.
What is it in the NFC East?
So you have the Eagles are the only team who are 90. The Patriots are second at 84. So Eagles 90. Cowboys 81.
They have the Eagles that much higher than the
Pats. That seems like a flaw. And then the Giants are the third worst team at 73.
That old line, man. People are not expecting much.
Interesting. I'll tell you what I do know is that Madden Twitter loves to yell about Madden, so I am positive we're going to get yelled at for something on this podcast.
I hope so.
Good.
Go read my article. It's on NBC Sports Washington.
Rob Kelly just had an awesome tweet at FatRob32. Trying to discourage me is like trying to put out a fire with gasoline. You're just making it worse. Hashtag built different. I like that, Rob.
Okay, Rob.
That's like trying to get Pete to be a better podcast producer is like trying to put out a fire with gasoline.
But I get worse. So you're basically putting out a fire with like water.
It's the it's the inverse of whatever what Rob said.
Anyway, all right, so we had a 2-hour training seminar here at NBC about respect the workplace. And it was cool, man. We learned some stuff.
That's why we're being nicer to Pete now.
So we're trying
to... I was going to say, what did it talk about how to treat your podcast producers? Because I don't think you listened.
This is us being nice.
Wow, this is...
So, in that vein... Pete had a pitch on our What Should We Talk About Today.
A lot of pitches.
He had two pitches, and Taylor's going to hate them both, so that's why I'm kind of into them.
Let's go.
Yeah.
The first one is...
These are both out there, by the way.
Well, the first one made sense because we're talking Madden.
Right.
So what's your favorite ever video game? Taylor, you want to go first?
Tetris on Nintendo Game Boy.
That's a great poll, Taylor. Did you actually play Tetris on a Game Boy?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. On my son's, my son's Game Boy.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, I don't play video games. I play wiffle ball in the backyard. I play stick ball in the alley.
I walked uphill to school both ways.
Yes.
Taylor, that's a great answer, dude. I'm proud of you.
I found it interesting. Okay.
All right. Good answer, dude.
Thanks for participating.
Yeah, I'm shocked. All right, Mitch, me and you. We're about the same age.
Yeah, so it's growing up, I was never allowed to have a video game system.
What?
So the first thing...
Why?
My parents wanted me to play outside. No, they weren't.
That's the opposite of coddled, you idiot.
Sheltered.
That's the opposite of sheltered, you idiot.
Okay.
They just wanted me to play outside. They weren't into the TV and the video games and all that kind of stuff, so whatever. But
and you now make a living in production and, like, running technical equipment.
Yeah. I was so mad about that. I promised I would know everything about it.
Right.
But I loved going over to my friends' houses, and the best, my favorite video game growing up was NHL 94.
Dude, it was the best. It's in Swingers, you make his head bleed. That's what I was going with.
Really?
And my trick was, Sega Genesis was my system of choice.
Sega, of course.
C was the shoot button, B was the pass button, but if you got in close to the net, you could use B and just pass it straight ahead.
Yep, jam it straight in. What team were you?
I was Caps, dude.
Oh, I was
Ally Afraidy forever.
I was the Buffalo Sabres, Alexander McGillney and Pat LaFontaine.
Dude, I was always the Caps. That's awesome. All right, so hockey on Genesis was incredible. Mortal Kombat was just such a badass game. Eventually, I got to PlayStation, and I had buddies that would sit and play video games for hours and play Zelda or play, yeah. I don't even remember the names of these games.
I mean, even the Super Mario.
Yeah, I just couldn't do that.
I didn't sit and play
games. I was only a sports games guy, and eventually I kind of lost it. But in college, people were playing video games nonstop, some of my friends. But I was still only sports games guys, but I loved college football. Because you could run the option, you could be all these different teams. College football was the best.
So I love the NCAA games too. I always played as Arkansas State.
Why?
Because I loved taking the tiny little team and you play two seasons and all of a sudden they're ranked number one and you're getting every 5-star recruit.
I loved running the option. I would be like Nebraska or teams like that.
I would always throw a fast quarterback, a wide receiver and a quarterback and have the dude.
I've always been a run game guy. If I was a head coach, I'd be running the Jaguars offense. And I do think over time football will go back to that. Like, I know that everybody throws the ball all over the place now, but, like, you still can't beat a good defense and a strong run game. The Eagles just showed us that, even though that Super Bowl was a total shutout.
Well, the NFL changed the rules to make it so you had to throw the ball because it's so advantageous. But this helmet-to-helmet rule, especially in the trenches, this could be that rule, like PI or whatever, that opens up the running game. I mean, you're going to see guys that
are
scared to put their heads down in there and might put some holes.
Right. Was Alan May in your hockey game? I tried to look.
No, that he would have been earlier.
His career was 89 to 99. He just wasn't on the Caps?
I don't remember him.
Okay.
But I don't think they had names then.
It was just generic
numbers. Okay. Yeah, it was just numbers.
Yeah.
47 and 89.
Right. All right, Pete, what's your favorite
video game? My favorite one.
You're still playing video games, right?
Fortnite is the current one, but Grand Theft Auto 5 is my favorite video game of all time. The most recent one that came out.
Is that Miami Vice City?
No, it's a much newer one. It came out in 2013. They haven't released a new one yet. But, I mean, if Tandler played this video game, he would faint out of, amazing.
I remember the first time I played Grand Theft Auto, I was in England with my dad visiting my family over there. And it was before the U.S. didn't allow Grand Theft Auto to be sold here.
I had to sneak my brother's first Grand Theft Auto.
Playing it there was wild. Yeah. I was like, oh my God. I'm carjacking people.
Yeah, it's the most immersive game. You just punch people, steal cars, do cheat codes, go on missions. Seriously, Tandler, you need to come over to my house one time and I'm just going to sit you in front of the TV and let you play GTA.
Your mind will melt.
Yeah. No, Tandler,
would you go to Pete's parents' house and play video games with him?
That will not be happening. No.
Can we do a sleepover at the Haley household?
I have the house for two more nights. So.
Can we camp out in your backyard, Pete?
Of course. I'll join you.
Tandler, what if Pete brings his video games to Richmond?
I was thinking about bringing my PS4.
Actually, do we know if Pete's coming to Richmond yet?
If I go.
Tandler, do you think Pete should go to Richmond?
Maybe if he can set up a darn podcast.
A darn podcast?
All right.
By the way, how much setting up of the podcast did Pete do last year?
Zero. I was barely even – I wasn't a part of the podcast last year.
No, you kept coming in the room and we'd tell you to shut up.
That's when I had my debut.
You would come in the room and then walk out.
All right. So –
that was fun.
Your first idea went okay.
A couple of other favorites real quickly. Battlefront 2, and Halo 3.
Favorites is good.
we're done talking about video.
JP already told you you did a good job, and now you're starting to kill it.
You're an
idiot. Sorry.
All right, so that idea went pretty well until you started talking about Battlefront, whatever the hell that is. This is Pete's other idea, and it's a stretch. Not going to lie to you. Pete, you go ahead and try to set this thing up. This is me being respectful in the workplace, NBC, if you're listening. Go ahead, Pete.
So, lawyers, you can listen to this.
Lawyers, but I don't know. Lawyers, I may need a lawyer. I don't know. Keep it in the green. That's the advice.
Hey, we'll meet our guy in Richmond soon.
Yeah.
So Taylor Swift is at FedEx Field. She has two concerts there, and Mitch is already ready to leave the room.
I mean, this idea is just awful.
So I just wanted to do real quickly, choose a Taylor Swift song that relates to the Redskins somehow, either how you're feeling about them now or the song that you think will sum up 2018.
Just go, quick.
So I'm choosing the song Delicate, which is out right now. They have high potential, but there's a lot of things that could go wrong. Their standing right now is very delicate with the injuries, and the Kendarius Geisby is good. We'll reach
Taylor,
healthy.
Your turn.
Can you guys call me back when this is done?
Well, it's
I don't
done.
Know any Taylor Swift songs. I don't dislike Taylor Swift, but I don't know any of your songs. Next.
He played along for one idea. That's all I can ask for.
Mitch?
Response to Kirk Cousins, we're never, ever getting back together.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Shit. I don't really have one. My daughter likes Taylor Swift, so I've been listening to it. Shake It Off for Jordan Reed. Shake Off last year.
Beautiful.
And make 2018 your season, and maybe this team gets back to the playoffs. How about that?
That's great.
Please not make this a regular segment, okay? Let's just move on.
That's about as well as I could have gone.
All right, I do want to do this, though.
Yeah.
And this is something I talked about a while ago.
The song.
I need Pete and I need Tandler. You each get to send me 5 songs. They have to be songs you love, and they have to be songs that had like great commercial success. Yeah. Like top.
They're not just some random song on an album.
Right. Like it could be like, it almost has to be like a number one Billboard song. Like a smash hit. But Tandler, like your 5 songs, and they're probably all going to be Beatles songs. And Pete, your 5 songs are probably all going to be Chainsmokers
songs.
Justin
Bieber, Chainsmokers.
And we're going to play like a snippet of each song for the other person.
Can this please be for Friday before, because training camp's approaching.
We have to get it set up. I don't know. Maybe. We're going to do it quick. Taylor, are you in on that?
But I have a lot of variety beyond the Beatles.
Okay, cool.
I think I'll do better. There's no way Taylor knows anything new.
Stop talking,
I think I could win.
Who wins, Mitch or Pete? Or you're Mitch. Who wins, Rich or Pete?
I'm going to say nobody because we have to listen to this.
Taylor, do you think you'll win or Pete?
No, wait. Okay, so you're playing me a snippet of his songs and vice versa.
Yes.
I have no chance.
Yeah. You'll be 0 for 5 easily.
Like, there's a chance that, like, Chainsmokers sampled one of Rich's songs.
What?
I would say Pete would also have 0, but a guy who pulled out Jumpy Gethers last week.
Let's go.
A couple of weeks ago, I can't say that. You never know.
Still haven't come down from that high.
All right. Well,
do I get to do 20 questions Friday?
No, maybe.
We'll do a camp. We'll do it at camp.
No, you're up. I just don't know when we're going to record for Friday.
So right, we'll figure it out.
The producer, I'm sure, will be on top of
it. Well, you guys like this. I'm on vacation next week, so you don't have to deal with me. See how the podcast goes then.
Have you taken a vacation, Mitch?
It'll be just as well produced then as it was before.
All right, Taylor. Thank you, Pete. You did a hell of a job, buddy. Hockey Mitch, you're slowly getting into shape for camp, dude. I think you'll be football Mitch soon. All right, that's a hell of a look from the big man. Folks, thank you very much for listening. August 4th, Richmond, Virginia. If you made it this far, hang out August 4th. I'll buy you a bunch of beer.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921.
Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.